reached, we think 120 years. And all they say is family. Abraham left his home and offered his son. Did you do that? That's pretty heavy cross. What about Moses? Turn in your Old Testaments. Go back to Exodus, the 14th chapter. Let's look at Moses a little bit. There's a couple of things, or one thing in particular for me that stood out with Moses that fascinates me. Just fascinates me. Exodus, the 14th chapter. We're going to begin in verse 21. Moses had been charged with leading the people out of Egypt. He'd been his resident. He left, if you remember. He goes back to lead God's people out. The 10 plagues that God pronounces on Pharaoh, he's carried out. And that's awesome in and of itself that he had the ability to do that. But he's led the people out. And they're leaving Egypt for the first time as free. Pharaoh changes his mind. He's in pursuit. They come up to the Red Sea. When we pick up the reading here in verse 21, you know how I am. I like to put myself in that position. So, as you've heard me say several times, put your robes and your sandals on. Get in the desert and picture this. Pharaoh's coming after them, and they come up to the Red Sea. Verse 21, then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night and made the sea into dry land, and the waters were divided. So the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea on dry ground, and the waters were a wall to them on their right hand and on their left. Skip down to verse 31. Then Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt, so the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. Can you not just see that? Wouldn't you just love to have that power to do that or watch God do that? Let's get down into the next chapter, chapter 15. We're going to pick up reading in verse 22. Exodus 15 and 22. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea. Then they went out into the wilderness of Shur. They have survived this. We know that Pharaoh and his people did not. Or the people did not. And now they've crossed. And they believe Moses. They believe God. They believe Moses. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore, the name of it was called Marah. And the people complained against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" That euphoria lasted 3 days. And they're already complaining. And if you go on and read that, we won't have time to do that this morning. You know what they said? We'd have been better off if you left us in Egypt. You just brought us out here to die. At least we had food and water there. They watched the Red Sea part with their own eyes, and 3 days later they didn't have any water, so they complained. God provided the water. He provided the food. We all know the story. You want to be Moses? You want to put up with that? You know what he said a little bit later? Lord, if it's going to be this bad, just take me now. Just kill me now. That's how bad it is. You want to change places with Moses? Joseph? Can you imagine? Now, I've got two little brothers, and I've done some things to them. I slugged one of them in the stomach, knocked the breath out of him, and put both my hands over his mouth so when he exhaled, Mama couldn't hear him scream. I've done things. I never threw one of them in the pit. He wished he died. Joseph rose to be second in command of Egypt. You want to trade places with Joseph? Elijah? We've read that story. Jezebel's after him. You ever thought, hey, I just wish I had health and a happy family, a healthy family and money. I'd be set. That's what Job had. You ever thought about that? That's what Job had. He had his health. He had a great family. Had all the money that you could possibly imagine the way it's described in Job, the first chapter. You want to have Job's faith? Now think about that one for a second. Do you really want? And you do. But do you know what you have to go through? God allowed Satan to tempt him and to take all that stuff away. You ready for that? You want to bear that cross? Be turning over to Matthew, the 10th chapter, if you will. Matthew, the 10th chapter, we'll pick up in verse 1 when you get there. You want to be an apostle? You think they don't have any crosses to bear? You want to be an apostle? Matthew 10 and verse 1. And when he, Jesus, when he called his 12 disciples to him, he gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. Then he names them, or their name, Matthew names them in the next three verses, 2, 3, and 4. Now let's pick up the reading in verse 5. Matthew 10 and verse 5. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans. But wherever go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. Freely you have received, freely give. Provide neither gold or silver or copper in your money belts, nor bag for your journey, nor two tunics, nor sandals, nor staffs, for a worker is worthy of his food. Would you like to be able to heal the sick? You want to be an apostle and perform miracles? You want to heal the sick? You want to raise the dead? How cool would that be? Have that awesome gift given to you by God. Same chapter. Let's get down just a few verses in verse 16. Matthew 10, verse 16. Behold, I send you out as sheep in the midst of wolves. Therefore be wise as serpents and harmless as doves. But beware of men, for they will deliver you up to councils and scourge you in their synagogues. You will be brought before governors and kings for my sake, as a testimony to them and to the Gentiles. But when they deliver you up, do not worry about how or what you should speak, for it will be given you in that hour what you should speak. For it is not you who speak, but the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. Now brother will deliver up brother to death, and a father his child. And children will rise up against parents and cause them to be put to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake. But he who endures to the end will be saved. When they persecute you, not if they, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another. For assuredly I say to you, you will not have gone through the cities of Israel before the Son of Man comes. You want to raise the dead? You want to heal the sick? You want to do all that? You want to be hated by all for something you didn't do? You want to go and teach in a city, and it gets so bad that you've got to run to another one. That's the solution to have this all over again. Name a Bible character that doesn't have a cross to bear? We all have them. We all have them. Remember, we're not going to turn over and read it, but do you remember Paul, when he had to justify his being an apostle in 2 Corinthians 11? Remember the laundry list that he read through? It starts in verse 24 and runs through verse 28, if you're taking notes, where he was shipwrecked X number of times and beaten so many times and left for dead. Remember, they stoned him in a place, and he got up and went back in the city. That's what these men went through. That was their life, preaching and teaching. Preaching and teaching, that's what happens to them. We all have crosses to bear. I've got them. There's some things I don't understand. I do and I don't. I do them. But why do I have to love my enemies? We probably all have that one in common. Why do I have to love my enemies? Where all they're out to do is hurt me, hurt God, hurt my family, hurt whatever. Why do I have to love my enemies? Now, I know the answer. Because my actions may save their soul. I didn't do anything to earn anything. They may learn something by me accepting them. I don't know. There's more to it than that. But just on the surface, why do you have to be around someone that all they want to do is hurt you? I struggle with people that wait till the last minute. Not only people that we've all heard the term deathbed confessions. But remember the parable that we talked about when Charles led that discussion, and those that worked at the beginning of the day and they got a certain amount of money, and a couple hours later, those people got the same amount of money, and at the end of the day, people that worked 1 hour got the same amount of money that worked all day. I'd probably have a little problem with that. In my physical life, where's the fairness in that? Wait until the last minute? I was brought up, if you're not 15 minutes early, you're late. My family didn't get that gene. Sean and neither one of my kids got that gene. They think I wasted 14 minutes and 45 seconds. I don't understand, and I struggle with my tongue in a different way than I did when I was a kid. When I was a kid, I didn't choose the right words. As an adult, I choose different words, but I still don't choose the right words. The way it comes back to someone else, the sharpness and the bitterness sometimes. I struggle with hypocrites. I struggle with people telling me what they need to do and what I need to do, and they're not doing it themselves. I struggle with that. And I bet some of you do too. So hopefully you're getting my point, because we all have crosses to bear. And it's taken me a long time to understand that brother or sister that obeys the gospel on their deathbed, if you will, I've gained a brother or sister. And I've looked at it the wrong way all my life. I've looked at it selfishly for me. I've had to do all of this. They don't have to, and they get the same thing. That's like me being this tall and going and telling my daddy that's not fair. And don't say those three words to my children, because they will answer you, get over it, life's not fair. Because that's what I told them all their life. I gained a brother or sister, but I was focused on me. what crosses do you have to bear? I've always thought, or I've struggled in times past with thinking I had to be perfect, that I couldn't mess up. And for the longest, I thought I needed to be perfect before I could obey the gospel. And I had the hardest time understanding that I didn't have to be perfect. I just had to be willing to try. And I had to be willing to do the best I could do. And the best I can do may not measure to the best that Troy can do in that particular thing. But the best he can do may not measure to the best I can do in another thing. I had to try to be the best I could the way God wanted me to be. You ever thought about what your crosses are or what your cross is? You may just have one, I doubt it. I would hazard to guess you have more than one. Let me ask it another way. What is it that could possibly keep you out of heaven? There's your cross. A cross is, if you will. I'm going to ask you to do something this morning. You may not do it this morning. You may start the process now. You may not finish it for a day or two. I don't know. But I'm going to ask you to be honest with yourself and identify what your cross is. I'm going to ask you to work on it and continue to work on it like I know you are anyway. But will you work on it? That's how we get stronger. And that's how we get to heaven. Life is hard. I read something the other day that I want to read to you that it was not written as biblical in nature, and you'll see that as I read it. But think about this. Marriage is hard. Divorce is hard. Choose your heart. Obesity is hard. Being fit is hard. Choose your heart. Being in debt is hard. Being financially disciplined is hard. Choose your heart. Communication is hard. Not communicating is hard. Choose your heart. Life will never be easy. It will always be hard. But we can choose our heart. Pick wisely. I read that several weeks ago, and that stuck with me. There's other things I can add to that, and there's other things you can add to that. But being a Christian's hard. But you know what? Not being a Christian's hard. Choose your heart. Choose your heart. I don't know what your routines are during the day. Normally in the mornings, I'm a morning shower person. I don't care if you're a night shower or a morning shower. As long as you take a shower, I don't care. It doesn't matter to me. As long as you just do that. I'm a morning. I don't sing in the shower. I hum, and I whistle. Sometimes I cry in the shower. That's where I can. But this song got stuck in my head the other day, and it's a good song. A lot of times I'll hum Amazing Grace, some of the old ones. Scott and I grew up on a lot of the old stuff, Doug. Remember those old songs we used to sing? And I'll hum some of those out of Sacred Selections. that we don't have anymore? But I started humming this song, and Paul led it just a minute ago, and I'm going to read the first verse to you. Because we've all felt this way. I traveled down a lonely road, and no one seemed to care. Can you not feel that? Have you ever not just felt like you were isolated and traveled down a lonely road? Not physically. You just feel helpless. The burdens on my weary back have bowed me to despair. The load got heavy. Have we not all felt that? I oft complained to Jesus how folks are treating me. Again, the pity party for me, the focus on me, the selfishness of me. And then I heard him say so tenderly, like, granted, these writers of these songs, they're based on Scripture. We know that. We give them license as we sing these songs. And we make sure they're scriptural in nature, but there's no recording of Jesus saying these exact words, but they do give me comfort. When he says, my feet were also weary up on that Calvary road, the cross became so heavy, I fell beneath the load. You remember what happened to him in Matthew 27? When they scourged him and they beat him and they left him near death. And physically, he couldn't carry that cross. And they had to compel someone else to do it. Turn over to Hebrews, the fourth chapter, before I finish that. Hebrews, the fourth chapter. Let's remind ourselves of something. Verse 14, beginning. Hebrews 4, verse 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. He came to this earth, and he understands everything we go through. The physical pain of that cross, the mental anguish of knowing it was going to happen as he was growing up. His purpose was to come here and to die for us. He knew life was going to be hard. He knew we were going to be tempted. Remember, he was tempted after not eating for 40 days and 40 nights and drinking anything. Remember that? He had to do that to be the perfect Savior, to understand, so the words had credibility to them. Be faithful, weary pilgrim. He knows we're tired. He felt it. The morning I can see. A lot of times we say we can see light at the end of the tunnel. I bet you have felt like I have at times. You couldn't see light. You didn't know if there was ever going to be light. You were going to survive the situation you found yourself in. You were so mentally despaired, physically. The morning he can see. He knows what awaits us. But there's something that we have to do. So lift your cross and follow after me. Sounds simple. It really does. When we sing those words, it just sounds so simple to lift my cross and deal with whatever I've got to deal with. But when I think about some of the things we talked about this morning with Moses and with the apostles and some of the other, any character you can name, basically, you can find something that I had to deal with. It's not so simple. It takes work. But that's why we're here. Part of the reason we're here today, to be with one another. In that weird sort of sadistic way, I hope it helps you that you know that I have crosses to bear. And I have problems in my life. I hope that helps you. I really do. Because it helps me to know that you have problems to deal with. That none of us are going to get through this scot-free. None of us are going to get through this without wounds and without scars, if you will. But I do know this. When times get tough, the only thing you can do, or the best thing I can do, let me put it that way, is to go back to the basics. When all my issues become so confusing to me that I have to get to the root of the problem. Most times we deal with all the symptoms of the problem. We deal with all the, I can't believe this and I can't believe that, and then you see what she did and I can't believe he did this or whatever, but we don't get to the root of the problem and take care of the issue. And we got to go back to the basics. And the basics are this. It doesn't matter your knowledge level. It doesn't matter your level of wisdom. It doesn't matter your level of understanding God's word. As long as you know He died for you. And He wants you to be His child. And you will take His name by being baptized. You can deal with the cross. You can deal with your issues. But start at the basics. Don't try to start in Revelation, if you will. Start with the basics. Go back to the basics. When this world becomes too much for you to bear, remember one thing. Christ loved us enough to come die for us. And as long as He's done that, and as long as I understand that, and I work toward what He wants me to do, He'll help me with my issues. Paul's chosen number 322 to be our song of invitation this morning. We're willing to help any and all that need our help. If you're not a Christian, if you want to take on His name, we can help you with that this very morning. But if you find yourself in another situation, as this song that we're going to sing says, or is entitled, Bring Christ Your Broken Life, we're here to help in any way that we can. So if you find yourself in that need, would you come as we stand together and sing this song?